ruinously back upon itself.
"You keep a narrow door, master," said Ged at last. "I must sit out in the fields here, I think, and fast till I grow thin enough to slip through."
"As long as you like," said the doorkeeper.
So Ged went off a little way and sat down under an alder on the banks of the Thwilburn, letting his otak run down to play in the stream and hunt the muddy banks for creek crabs. And the sun went down, late and bright, for spring was well along. Lights of lantern and warelight gleamed in the windows of the great house, and down the hill the streets of Thwiltown filled with darkness. Owls hooted over the roofs, and bats flitted in the dusk air above the stream, and still Ged sat thinking how he might, by force, ruse, or sorcery, learn the doorkeeper's name. The more he pondered, the less he saw. Among all the arts of witchcraft he had learned in these 5 years on Roke, any one that would serve to wrest such a secret from such a mage. He lay down in the field and slept under the stars with the otak nestling in his pocket, and after the sun was up he went, still fasting, to the door of the house and knocked. The doorkeeper opened.
"Master," said Ged, I cannot take your name from you, not being strong enough, and I cannot trick your name from you, not being wise enough. So I am content to stay here and learn or serve whatever you will, unless by chance you will answer a question I have."
"Ask it."
What is your name?"
The doorkeeper smiled and said his name, and Ged, repeating it, entered for the last time into that house. When he left it again, he wore a heavy dark blue cloak, the gift of the township of Low Torning, whereto he was bound, for they wanted a wizard there. He carried also a staff of his own height, carved of yew wood, bronze shod. The doorkeeper bade him farewell, opening the back door of the great house for him, the door of horn and ivory, and he went down the streets of Thwill to a ship that waited for him on the bright water in the morning.
Chapter 5. The Dragon of Pendor. West of Roke, in a crowd between the two great lands, Husk and Ensmer, lie the 90 isles. The nearest to Roke is Surd, and the farthest is Sepish, which lies almost in the Pellish Sea. And whether the sum of them is 90 is a question never settled for. If you count only isles with freshwater springs, you might have 70, while if you count every rock, you might have 100 and still not be done. And then the tide would change, and narrow run the channels between the islets, and there the mild tides of the inmost sea, chafed and baffled, run high and fall low, so that where at high tide there might be 3 islands in one place, at low there might be 1. Yet for all that danger of the tide, every child who can walk can paddle, and has his little rowboat. Housewives row across the channel to take a cup of rushwash tea with the neighbor. Peddlers call their wares in rhythm with the stroke of their oars. All roads there are salt water, blocked only by nets strung from house to house across the straits to catch the small fish called turbies, the oil of which is the wealth of the 90 isles. There are few bridges and no great towns. Every islet is thick with farms and fishermen's houses, and these are gathered into townships, each of 10 or 20 islets. And one such was Low Torning, the westernmost, looking not on the inmost sea, but outward to empty ocean, that lonely corner of the archipelago where only Pendor lies, the dragon-spoiled isle, and beyond it the waters of the West Reach, desolate. A house was ready there for the township's new wizard. Stood on a hill among green fields of barley, sheltered from the west wind by a grove of pendic trees that now were red with flowers, and from the door one looked out on other thatched roofs and groves and gardens and other islands with their roofs and fields and hills, and amongst them all the many bright winding channels of the sea. It was a poor house, windowless, with earthen floor, yet a better house than the one Ged was born in. The islemen of Low Torning, standing in awe of the wizard from Roke, asked pardon for its humbleness. "We have no stone to build with," said one. "We are none of us rich, though none starve," said another. And a third, "It will be dry at least, for I saw to the thatch and myself, sir."
To Ged, it was as good as any palace. He thanked the leaders of the township, frankly, so that the 18 of them went home, each in his own rowboat to his home isle, to tell the fishermen and housewives that the new wizard was a strange young grim fellow who spoke little, but he spoke fairly and without pride. There was little cause, perhaps, for pride in this first magistracy of Ged's. Wizards trained on Roke went commonly to cities or castles to serve high lords who held them in high honor. These fishermen of low tourning in the usual way of things would have had among them no more than a witch or a plain sorcerer to charm the fishing nets and sing over new boats and cure beasts and men of their ailments. But in late years, the old dragon of Pendor had spawned, and 9 dragons, it was said, now laired in the ruined towers of the Sea Lords of Pendor, dragging their scaled bellies up and down the marble stairs and through the broken doorways there, wanting food on that dead isle they would be flying forth some year when they were grown and hunger came upon them. Already a flight of 4 had been seen over the southwest shores of Husk, not alighting but spying out the sheepfolds, barns, and villages. The hunger of a dragon is slow to wake, but hard to sate. So the Islemen of Lotorning had sent to Roke, begging for a wizard to protect their folk from what boded over the western horizon, and the Archmage had judged their fear well-founded. "There's no comfort in this place," the Archmage had said to Ged on the day he made him wizard. "No fame, no wealth, maybe no risk. Will you go?"
"I will go," Ged had replied, not from obedience only.
Since the night on Roke Knoll, his desire had turned as much against fame and display as once it had been set on them. Always now he doubted his strength and dreaded the trial of his power. Yet also the talk of dragons drew him.